Welcome back to the Best Worst Thing podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Lewa. My next guest is a speaker, songwriter, and award-winning author of the Unicorn book series, Unicorn Jazz, with over 10 years in creating radio show programming and podcasts. Combined with 26 years in marketing, her creativity and skills have encompassed her amazing career. She's the author of 17 books and the producer and director of Unicorn Jazz Presents The Thing I Do, a family show on Amazon TV. Welcome, Lisa Caparelli.
Thank you for having me, Josh. So excited to be here with your audience and you.
I'm so grateful that you're here. So let's jump right into it. If you can just tell the listeners a little bit about kind of what you're doing right now. What's the project? What are the things that you're involved in right now?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, there's a lot I'm involved in. I'm very grateful. I love what I do, sharing the great work of God and goodness and kindness through my children's book series and brand, Unicorn Jazz, and reaching students, schools, teachers, and that kind of thing. And I just want to say that it's been life-changing for me. Didn't know this was going to be my path. Before I did Unicorn Jazz, creating it and helping people through all the positive messages, I was 27 plus years in marketing and branding, building other companies, working alongside CEOs, and always following their vision and supporting their purpose. And then before getting Unicorn Jazz, I just had this calling after creating a book called Skip a Step, Imparting Wisdom for Young Entrepreneur Minds. And it was through the work of that book that gave me the leap of faith to then build my own purpose in this world.
Fantastic. Well, so I want to get into kind of you taking that leap of faith. But before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit more about the Unicorn Jazz and that whole concept?
Yes. Yeah, so Unicorn Jazz is a character that I wanted to be the main character, followed with there's other characters. There's a crow named Wolf. There's a Be Happy. And then there's a zebra corn named Traziki. And I know this is audio only, but I'm showing it for the audience, and please follow our work. We are on Amazon TV now since the pandemic with the show I made. So Unicorn Jazz, in the first book, Unicorn Jazz moves to a new land in search of new friends. She feels like she doesn't belong. She is shy, which kind of I was shy growing up, very shy actually. And so she meets a friend named Wolf. He's a crow who believes in her and tells her she should celebrate her talent, which is music. So she's, you know, I'm holding up the book for you. I know the audience can see it, but please go see it, Unicorn Jazz. She has a musical tail for a note. And I did little things on purpose like that because that's her talent. And being a mom myself, when my children were little, I loved singing to them. I loved stories that came with songs, or I would just make them up. So I've always been imaginative, storytelling. I love to escape to fairy tale land. And so it was a way for me to revisit my childhood with messages and stories that I wish I would have had. So we've been able to do that and so much more.
That's great. You seem to be such a creative person, and it sounds like something that you've been for a long time. But if you can talk to us about your path to this, because, you know, I've heard vision and purpose for other people, but deciding to do something for yourself, what was your path to getting to take on such an important project?
It kind of was the... You know, I don't think it was clear in the vision I wanted to build, but I had already created books and published books before Unicorn Jazz. And to date now, I have 17 books and counting overall, business books and children's books and coloring books and teacher books. And so with Unicorn Jazz, I needed an illustrator to create the picture books for children. So my illustrator is David Villalobos. He's from my hometown of El Paso, Texas. It was his dream to be a published illustrator. He is now. And we work so well together. He puts the art to the words, which are so important. I mean, it's just amazing the art he does and how we obviously meant to be doing this. So it was a combination of me wanting to create a lasting product that really would be purposeful. Even one day when I pass on this earth, as we all do, I really saw the importance of giving back to the youth, you know, with my book, Skip a Step, which is for teens and, you know, college age students. And then Unicorn Jazz would led me into working with elementary school children. And for me, my elementary school years were so important. They're so pivotal. And I think to any of us, we hear, we know, and research shows us that our youth and our childhood is so impressionable with what we learn, what, you know, who's around us, people inspire us, our family, our education, our brains, we know are rapidly, you know, growing and have the capacity. And we're also, you know, vulnerable and innocent. And for me, I didn't know how much I was going to love returning to my childhood, being, feeling like I'm seven again and understanding the viewpoints of 7-year-olds. And I say seven because, you know, seven is when you're around in first grade, and first grade was so important to me. And it changed my path and course because I had an amazing teacher. So for me, it was just a way to go back to my childhood and play with kids now through teaching and learning, you know, and as we know, as adults, who says you have to stop playing? Play can be in the form of art, or it could be in the form of hobbies and interests, which is why I made the book The Thing I Do. So it's just working with children has been the greatest blessing of my life.
Thank you so much for sharing that. It's something that that stands out to me in our conversation is authenticity, and being able to kind of reconnect with parts of you that were really important, and that others get to really enjoy that. And I'm curious about two areas that I want to ask you about. So the first one is kind of is what's your take on the idea of being authentic? And the second piece is I want to talk a little bit more about play because I love this idea. So let's talk about authenticity. I mean, you've seemed like you're such a down-to-earth real person and you're really connected. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, being authentic is being who you are and owning it and celebrating it. Your actions match your words. Your words match your actions. And being authentic is learning and growing, which we always do till the day we die. And for me, and I think I see this when I work with adults and, you know, I work with all ages really, with my messages and, you know, I come on a wonderful podcast like yours, which is going to be more for adults. Right. And so then, you know, you're listening to this and saying, well, why should I care about a children's brand? You know, if I'm an adult, well, we were once them. We were all once children, and every single one of us can go back to our childhood and remember the real moments that shaped us, changed us, were gracious for us, all these things. Obviously, we never want hurt or loss or suffering for children. That's something that I think universally, no one ever does. It's just, that's a finite truth. We want the best for the children. And we, as children, wanted the best for us because we are under, you know, someone else's guidance. You can't change the family you're born in. You can't change your circumstances growing up. I grew up really poor. You can't change the surrounding or environment if you maybe didn't have a good family or didn't have the communication that maybe as a grown-up you have found through education and self-development. So it's just knowing who you are today and knowing that whatever your past was, that doesn't necessarily have to define the outcome of who you are and what you do today.
That's wonderful. Yeah, knowing who you are today. Because right, you're absolutely right. A lot of us have come through and gone through a lot of different things and we've grown and developed. But I love the idea also of being able to go back and reflect back to your childhood. I know in a lot of therapeutic settings, that's a great place where you can do a lot of healing.
Yeah. And really what makes you happy can, you know, this book of being happy, I'm showing up the pages again and I'll describe for the audience a full page pictures, full page art of simple things like this. I'm reading this page. Being happy is baking sweets with mom. And it's a picture of Unicorn Jazz in her kitchen with, you know, her mom. And I often say, who here would like it if someone baked or cooked for them? Everyone. And, you know, being happy is if you have a pet, you know, that would make you happy. I get to live near the beach. I'm so grateful and blessed. So walking on the beach makes me happy, singing, all these different things. So it's finally, you know, happiness is free. As I share with people, it's a choice. But, you know, sometimes I ask adults what makes them happy and they can't really give me the answer quickly. And that's astonishing to me. And then I see the divide as we grow up. You know, I always like to seek the why. We have responsibilities. We have stresses. We think we have to do this to achieve happiness. That's if we make our children more happy, if we do this. And sometimes we leave ourselves empty. And if you ask a child what makes them happy, especially after sharing them what are ways you could be happy, they instantly like, this makes me happy. Like, you can't shut them up.
Yeah, I think when I think about the work that I do, I think about the people who I surround myself and the choices that I make on a daily basis. Happiness, joy, I think those are all intentional decisions that I actually make. And I know that, you know, we've all...
Good.
Yeah, it's a really important piece. So I do also want to talk about play. What does... I mean, you said, you know, the kids live for play. And as adults, we lose that.
Oh my gosh, play is a playground of imagination, and it'll inspire creativity. You know, that's why I turn my characters into puppets, Unicorn Jazz and Tracy Key. You know, play is so important. I mean, if dancing is play, and it's hard to dance and not be happy. It's hard to sing and not be happy if you enjoy singing. That's still play. Music, art, you know, play for you. And I was a podcast host before. This could be play, you know, and so play is so important for teaching children, because creating make-believe and playing make-believe, which children do. I loved being a child and growing up with laughter and joy, even though we didn't have a lot, I still know we were happy. Were we happy? We played. We made up stories. We pretended we were other characters, and for hours would go along with that. My sisters and I, we could make up stories just walking and, you know, capitalizing on the words of each other. Communication is play. So I just feel as adults, because I actually started working with adults, I feel like I'm like Benjamin Button. I went down backwards. I've seen a lot of pain. I've seen a lot of hardship. I've been, you know, honored to work with over 160 CEOs and brands before I created Unicorn Jazz. And so I did research and asking questions and asking what was their authentic self and what made them happy or not. I found that the more money that someone had, that they, you know, they weren't happy. And I used to say, like, for a girl again that came from nothing, I used to say, if I had these cars and boats and house and this beautiful island, like, I would be happy. But it's more than that. It's who you are on the inside, and who, what are you doing to help and serve others? You know, who is around you making up the things? And again, there's no one finite answer. It's the question for all of us, that we get to write the chapters of our stories every day. And we can rewrite them if we have to. As Scott Fitzgerald says, one of my favorite quotes, it's in my book, Skip a Step. I hope you live a life you're proud of. I hope you live a life that's true. And if you're not, I hope you have the strength, the courage to start over again. And that's been me many times. And many of us, sometimes we could be stuck. We could be, you know, we can give so much of our life, our time, our precious time, to the wrong thing versus the right thing. And for me, I just, time is promised to no one, if this is my time, I always aim to live it in the positive way I can. Not that I'm perfect, because I'm not. I'm a work in progress like all of us. And I just find that, you know, as the saying goes, suffering is a choice and happiness is a choice. We can choose. It's a decision.
Absolutely. And I agree. So I do want to talk about, you've mentioned your background a little bit. Can you tell us about kind of where you're from, where you grew up, kind of your, anything you feel comfortable, your family, anything you feel comfortable? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I am Latina. I'm Hispanic, grew up in a large Hispanic family, full of a lot of great food, cooking, a lot of love, a lot of helping each other. I grew up in El Paso, Texas, which is a border town right next to Mexico. So right across the border, and really you could see it, you know, from where we lived, was, you know, a third world country. So, you know, we thought we were poor. We just crossed the street kind of, and there was Mexico. So we never were complaining, you know, about what we didn't have. We just you know, accepted. And my mother raised five children on her own. She was a single mom, very, you know, devout Catholic, prayed a lot. She had a lot of challenges as a single mom back then would. She did the best she could. Today, we have the most amazing relationships, as do I with all my family. My grandmother had a third grade education. She was forced to drop out of school when she, at that third age grade, because her mom had died. So she had to raise her family. And my grandmother was so much full of goodness and wisdom. By the time she had grandchildren, us, she just was so prolific in the way she looked at the world. She, grandma hardly ever traveled the world, which she did. She was there. Her family was her number one priority. And she taught me a lot. She was like Wolf the Crow to me. She believed in me. She saw a lot in me that I felt like the world didn't see. I grew up feeling like I didn't matter. And grandma would change that belief. So did some teachers along the way. And I think many of us in life, what I've found is we all want to belong and matter. We want someone who to be witness to our life at all stages and champion us. So it's very important for me when I speak to children and audiences that I tell them we are all unique. We're supposed to be. We're supposed to be unique and to celebrate that, you know, because I grew up shy and introverted and I used to feel bad about it. I wish I was like the popular kid. But going back, I say, what would I be doing if I was talking all the time? I wouldn't have been a writer.
Thank you for sharing that. So your grandma sounds like an amazing person. Your mother sounds like an amazing person. And it's just great to see them shine through you and I'm sure their own varying ways. We're going to take a little bit of a break and then we'll get to the big question.
Thank you.
All right. So as you know, this is the Best First Thing podcast. And this is the time in our interview where we ask our guests to share a story, either personal, professional, maybe even both, where they went through a hardship. And so the questions are what, how, what? So what was the situation? How did you get through it? And what did you learn about it that you'd like our listeners to walk away from? So Lisa Caparelli, what's your best worst thing?
You know, I would say for me is a relationship, you know, choosing a partner in a relationship that has probably been a challenge for me. I am single today. I one day want to be married and live a Christian life as I've been immersing myself into my relationship with God and realizing that everyone has their own spiritual journey. And I have learned a lot. I've learned the importance of having God in your life where I didn't realize before how much that would help. My sisters, all Christian, brought me into Christianity about just a year ago. And I learned so much. It's just been life-changing. And for me, because I had an open mind to learn and grow, I know now the power of having, you know, people who believe in God and can, you know, follow the principles of that. And these are words I would never say. I probably on almost any podcast, I probably haven't. I know you don't have, this is not a Christian podcast. And, you know, for people listening, if they don't, you know, you have the right to what you believe in, and we have all free will. That's the thing, is God gives us free will. So for me, it's just been challenging in that I wish I had a partner that, you know, and knowing that now I have the freedom to kind of redesign and wait for who's to be that partner. And for me, even though it's painful, you know, an exit of a relationship for anyone, the newfound freedom I have now that I can actually, you know, choose, as is God's will, to have the right partner to help me, because I have so much blessed work ahead. So many great things are happening with Unicorn Jazz. We get book donations and I give them away to children in need, children's charities, orphanages, all these things. And I'm doing it alone. God sent me a lot of volunteers, but I think like I need someone that can match my wavelength as I would match his.
Thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing that. You know, they say that choosing a significant other or a partner for most people is the most important decision
right.
that you make. And I know that I mean, I know we're all raised in our own ways and have our own belief systems, but you know, I regardless of whether we're religious or not, I believe that that part's a universal human truth for so many of us. And so I can really appreciate that. So let me ask you, do you mind if I get a little bit more nosy?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I know we could delete things if we want. That's a recording.
Yeah, we can always tell Sam to edit this.
Are you a Christian? Not that it matters.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I was raised Christian. I was raised in I was born in Uganda, and so the missionaries
really
were a big part of our family, and so we were kind of raised in a household. And so I do have my own faith kind of relationship as well, which is really important to me.
Thank you for sharing.
No problem, of course. And it's so interesting because in the work I work at a university, you know, as an administrator, and it's a private university, but it's not religious at all. And so faith is not something we talk about. And I have plenty of friends who are agnostic or atheist,
yeah.
or come from different faith backgrounds,
right.
And belief backgrounds. And so it's never been necessarily a barrier in those friendships and relationships or work relationships. But I do know for significant others, sometimes being on the same page for people is a really important piece. But what I wanted to ask you about was, as you transitioned from, you know, whatever that past situation was, it opened up a whole lot of different areas for you to really give and for you to
Absolutely.
Focus on this new area mm-hmm. in your life. And so I'm so curious about, you know, that opening.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, there's that saying when one door closes, another mm-hmm. one opens. And it seems like you're living that. You're the embodiment of that. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. And and you can ask me anything. Thank
okay.
you. I think, you know, what we know now, your Holy Spirit, you knows what's best for you and what you are doing. We are designed, as Annalee Stanley says, a great pastor and mentor, and has a plethora of videos. I'm amazed by his wisdom and making it modern to hit home for people, whether you're Christian or not. You should follow Andy Stanley's great work. He says, at the end of one of his happiness series, and happiness is an important thing in my life to study and give back to people. He says, you want to be happy? We're designed to give our lives away. It's like, there you go. You know, don't make it about you. How are you helping and serving others? You said you have ministry. I think that's awesome. You know, one of the books we have coming out in the work I do, because I started just living it, is Helping Others. And the book's called Help and Give Back. It's Unicorn Jazz series showing artwork for kids on ways they can help and give back, whether it's recycling, walking someone across the street, you know, reading books to others. We have a picture of serving at the food bank because we do that. Book donations, giving blood, that would be for adults. There's different ways all of us can help. And what I found is when I've invited the public and the children to be part of our book drive donation, where we give books to different charities, the kids get so excited because they're actually giving back. They don't really know for that purpose if that's what they're doing, but the parents see that change in them. And they said, thank you for doing this because it's changing my child's life and perspective to take things off of them. Because, you know, we have so much consumption today with material things. I want this, I want that. How can you help other people with your talent or with your give? Or children will, you know, donate their allowance to give, you know, a book to a child in need. And they see the story and process it. That's what we do. And that's what I lead, thanks to the grace of God. I'm just this spokesperson and I have an army of people helping. I see the lives it changes and being that role model. My sisters and I, when we were young, and as I said, we grew poor all our childhood, even though we were poor and we could barely find 10 cents to take the bus to the local hospital to be candy stripers, we did that. That was our joy. Nobody told us to do that. And so for me, I think volunteering, acts of service, giving back, no matter where you are in your life, if you're blessed and fortunate that you have built an empire and a great company, then you should be helping more. You know, as we know, God will always provide and we'll always have what we need. And sometimes we can maybe hoard onto it or not know our purpose and calling. Things can happen fast. That happened to me. I had a very successful company after moving here to California when I was 20 years ago. And I completely changed my life starting a company with a partner. We made a lot of money. We didn't really give a lot of that. And then I wanted to. I did mission trips, but I didn't have a partner that agreed with me on that. And I look back like, boy, how would life would have been had we done ministry and work? But again, you have to find someone on the same page. Now today, like I said, I am single. And so when, for me, I want to know, what are we going to help and give back with? Are we going to align in ministry? Because that would ultimately, as we know, that's the best thing. Because the opposite of selfish is to help others. And if you're feeling down or if you're not uncertain about something in your life, go help and serve. And then when things are great, continue helping and serving, being the leader so other people can, you know, help, and you're pouring into them, they're pouring into you. Because as the older we get, we need the good graces of other people. We need goodness, we need kindness, and we need love. And it has to be beyond you. It has to be beyond your partner. We are designed to help a community of people. I didn't know all this, by the way, when I was younger.
Yeah, I think a lot of people discover that at different stages of their lives. And for me, this resonates so well. And it's a powerful message to share with people, which is sometimes it's whether you're kind of going through a hard time or a struggle or a difficulty, one of the best things you can do is to turn your attention towards other people. How can I be of service to other people?
Right.
And it could be little things. It could be, I've said this before, it could be just opening the door, smiling at somebody, saying, you look great today, whatever it is. But being of service, even just your presence with me today is a big help to me, because this is a passion project that I continue to do. And it's something that I just want to put into the world, and just your presence is a gift. And so, it's a wonderful way to stay on the right track and to get yourself to a better place, which is to get the focus off of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I honor what you do. I think it's amazing because you get to know someone new. You have a purpose. So keep on, you know, being a podcast host and praying for, you know, what's to come of it. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I find that some of the most incredible connections and our friendships are made with people like you, because you have that curiosity to be curious about what's beyond you. Obviously, before today, we didn't know each other. You know, you're interested in me based on the things that I have done, and I'm interested in you because I see that you're a leader and you have a voice that matters to many people, and you're creating your authentic voice every day, which we all are, and aligning yourself with people that I would say are doers of the world. Let's face it, to be a podcast host, to be an entrepreneur, you have to be doers of the world. Yeah. There's no one knocking at your door going, here, this is what you do. This is the formula, right? We figure it out.
That's right.
So there's a lot of tenacity required. There's a lot of self-driven capabilities needed. And I'm very motivated and self-driven. I've always been. I love being an entrepreneur. With you, it's easy to just have a paycheck and you show up and you leave and you clock out. I think that's great. We need people. If you have a company, you need people supporting and mentoring. We are all different. We're supposed to be. I've taken the role of being an entrepreneur leader. God's gifted me with that. I've never had to worry. People have asked me early on with Unicorn Jazz, was there time that I doubted? And no, zero doubt. But because I already had experienced the wisdom of growing companies time and time again, that I restarted with nothing, and in a year or more, they're growing into, you know, great success. So it's, to me, it's just, we all can be open to learn, open to be coaching. If you have the grace of God and Christianity in your life, whoa, how that will be. That's what I'm looking forward to in the future, because I know these are things I never spoke about. I never openly spoke about being Christian and what that means, and how I continue to learn and where I need to go. I probably never put it a lot in my previous post. Like, I wouldn't talk about God. I always believed in God, but I didn't have the word to speak it accurately. And now I feel like I can, you know, people come to me for words of encouragement, and I give them words that I've read through scripture, something I never could be able to do, but I'm kinesthetic. Like, if I'm going to speak and, you know, tell someone this is words, it's not my opinion, it's in the Bible. I need to understand it, breathe it, live it. So I'm the type that I make pictures, or I love quotes that have pictures like we do, like, you know, it's great on Instagram. I like to understand the messages I'm sharing, and not just sharing them because it sounds good. Are you really living them?
Thank you. That's really great. I appreciate that. So for people who want to follow your work, get access to your books, What's the best way for people to find you?
Thank you. I'd love for anyone to go to unicornjazz.com. And you can find me. I'm Lisa Caprelli. I'm involved with all my social media accounts. We're on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, all that. But you could really take a look at the work we're doing. Whether you have children, you're an educator, I'd love to get invited virtually or in person as the pandemic changes to your school. I do incredible presentations that are teaching in nature, super fun, super playful, super engaging. My presentations have been described as a movie for kids. And I just look forward to teaching and to serving, you know, people, especially children who are our future in the way that God continues to design and put the right people in my life that care about the future of children, that care about giving back, that realize that we each are here for a purpose and aligning with people who want to, you know, connect.
That's great. Thank you so much for your time today, Lisa.
Thank you, Josh. I enjoyed it. And I look forward to following your incredible work and your continued podcast. And any way I can help and serve you, please count on me.
Sounds great. Thank you for listening to the Best Worst Thing podcast. I'm your host, Josh Williams. Music is produced by Josh One. You can follow him at Boom Note on Instagram and Twitter and Josh One on Spotify. Our episodes are edited by Cool Jets Audio and Visual. You can follow them at Cool Jets AV on Instagram. Our marketing is designed by Francesca Daniels. You can find her at FrankandKitty24 on Instagram. And our overall design is by Inspired Design with Ryan Daniels. You can find them at getinspired.design on Instagram. Thank you for listening to The Best Worst Thing.
This one's for the good times and this one's for the bad. This one's for the day. Skin.